timer. Don't want to go over my allotted time slot. My name is Fran Denaro, and I host and lead a Tuesday night group. And I was very privileged to be able to share today what the Lord put on my heart. And our group, I have to say, it was a privilege studying all year with the group that came every Tuesday night. These ladies really enjoy digging into the Word, and the Holy Spirit was always there at our table. And through the year, we witnessed a lot of answer to prayer, and that's basically what the Lord put on my heart to share today. So for those of you who didn't come participate in the study, we studied the infinite God, which was every week we took an attribute of God and dug in. And it started with his existence, and each week we had a key verse. And that verse that week was John 8:58. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And the deeper Hebrew meaning of "I am" was translated, "I will always be who I have always been." And that was the beginning. That was the foundation, and we just moved on from there through all of his attributes, his grace, his peace, his gifts, his healings, all of that. His sufficiency, that was a good one. And his guidance, I think a lot of us really like that one, his guidance. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." How sweet is that? So the message that the Lord really laid on my heart was a message of encouragement, and I hope that that's what comes through. If you'll just pray with me for a minute. Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to share, Lord, what you've put on my heart. And I pray, Father, that you would just go before me, that you would just move me aside, Lord, and speak. We love you. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. So now that we've all, those who went through the study, know more about our Heavenly Father and his attributes, I really felt it impressed upon my heart that that knowledge should now carry over into our prayer life. And what do I mean by that? When we come to him in prayer, do we approach him based on who he is, all that we know of him and all that we've studied? If we do, then our prayers will be joined with worship and passion. It won't be just, you know, those prayers that we sit like during our devotional time and say, "Oh yeah, Lord, and that and that and that," and go down our list. If we focus on him and all that he is, we can't help but worship him. Worship is an important part of prayer, and if we truly believe that God is who he says he is, we'll be worshiping. Are we trusting him? Do we see him with our spiritual eyes high and lifted up like Isaiah did in Isaiah 6? That his robe filled the temple. He was all consuming. Do we see him that way? If we are, then our prayers are going to be God-centered and not self-centered. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good?" Do we believe that? Do we believe these verses? Do we believe our Heavenly Father? Or are we giving him our list and just directing him on how he should answer, which I do many times, I have to say. You know, this would be good, that would be good. But, you know, he knows better than we can ever know. And if we're doing that, if we're telling him how to answer what we're praying, we're hurting him. And we are putting ourselves in a position that is not meant for us. Nothing comes before God. He's priority, he's king. And if we put ourselves in that place, we're putting ourselves before that. And how about intercessory prayer? when we're praying for others. What does that look like? James 5:16 says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Fervent in the Greek is energeo, which means to be operative or at work, to put forth power or to display one's activity. So we get the picture in our heads of laboring. When we're interceding, it should look like that we are working at that. We're laboring in prayer for others. Not in a way that we're working to get what we want, but it's active and it's outward. And our focus needs to be on our Father's ability and his character. Who should we look to for our example for intercessory prayer? When Jesus went to the cross, he labored. There's no question about that. He stretched out his arms and he surrendered his all on our behalf to his Father, who he had complete confidence in because he knew his Father intimately. He held absolutely nothing back. Should we, being so much less than he, do anything other than completely surrender our will to him in intercessory prayer for others? Do we believe Hebrews 11:6, where the writer says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? And diligent, the definition there is steady, earnest, energetic effort, painstaking. One of the last two studies was his fatherhood. Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And Luke 12:32 says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We are his children, and he loves us, and he doesn't want to hold anything back from us. It's his heart to bless us by answering our heartfelt prayers. We can go to him anytime and curl up in his lap, and he puts his arms around us, and he said, "Yes, because I love you." Do we know that when we go to him in prayer? The last lesson we studied was his faithfulness, and the Lord personally pounded that home to me when I went through that study. The key verse was Deuteronomy 7:9. "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." And this lesson for me really summed up the whole study. It just kind of enveloped the whole thing. He's faithful to exhibit all that he is to us in response to our prayers. And I encourage my group, and I want to encourage you to start keeping a journal of stones of remembrance. Answers to prayer that you can just look back on when you have those times of doubt or questioning or, you know, is God really even hearing me? You can look back and say, he does hear me because I see he was there here, 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 and here. And it really is comforting and encouraging. It's just something tangible that you can have and look back on. So now that we've come to the end of the study, and that we know him more intimately, let's let our prayers be affected by our Father's character to us and his ability. Remember that we are not praying from defeat, but we're praying from victory, always, as 1 Corinthians 15:51 tells us. And I'd like to close with Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." Let's worship him because he's worthy. Amen.
Hi, ladies. I'm Lori Taddeo. I'm in Fran DeNiro's group. When Fran first told us about the study, the brunch, I said, "Well, I'm coming, but I'm not speaking." And she went, "If the Lord tells you to speak, you'll speak." So here I am. I, I came to Cornerstone in June of 2012 on the recommendation of a mutual friend of mine in France. At the time, I felt like I couldn't take it anymore or do it alone anymore. And the most important thing I have learned was that I don't have to do it alone. The Lord has my back. He is always there to give me wisdom and the strength to keep going on. In His holiness, I learned that God is pure, righteous, unlike no other. He is to be honored, exalted, and worshiped. Because of His holiness, He is willing and able to bless and forgive those who follow His laws, commands, and examples. In His peace, I learned that peace does not mean having no problems. It means to have inner peace in your heart when you believe, know, and have a relationship with God. In His ways, we learn that we can make all the plans we want, but God knows what is best for us and always does for us lovingly. Our thoughts and ways are not always His, but we can always count on Him to do what is right for us. In His existence, I learned that existing doesn't mean just going through life day by day. It means God is alive and always will be. He is the great I am. He is the creator of all. In His supremacy, we were taught that God is all-powerful, knows all, and is present in all places at the same time. So no matter where you are, God is with you. He sees and hears you and knows your every need. His grace. It took me a very long time to grasp this. God's grace is the greatest gift. Even though we don't deserve it, He gives it to us because He loves us. I thought my life was long-suffering and that that was not a pleasant thing. But God's long-suffering gives us time to change our sinful nature and come to Him. Where would we be without His gifts? God gives us everything good in our lives because He loves us, whether we deserve it or not. In His servanthood, we learned how this beautiful man humbled himself to become a servant to save us from eternal damnation. Without His healing, this world would be in worse shape than it is. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to heal man physically, emotionally, and spiritually. His comfort was something I was longing for. I know that whatever trial is sent my way, the Lord is standing right next to me to help me. He has given us the Holy Spirit to give us inner comfort, bringing relief to our hearts. Whenever my soul needs a place to rest, I know His overshadowing wings are there to wrap themselves around me and heal me. One of the greatest lessons I learned was in His Trinity. I never realized that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit were always there, even during creation. I thought Jesus was born in the New Testament and that the Holy Spirit came to us in the New Testament. I learned of God's pure, protective, possessive love for us in His jealousy. I am trying so hard not to be materialistic. This character of the Lord's helps keep me in line. His mercy teaches us that God does not give sinful man the punishment he deserves. He is a forgiving God, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. We are so blessed by His love. There is no way to show how much God loves us. He is our Father and we His children. His love is unconditional, powerful, and constant. His fatherhood helped me understand why we have trials. God disciplines us as a father because He loves us and wants us to grow and learn and turn to Him and glorify Him. Take a look around you. All you can see is His goodness. As Jesus Christ said, there is none good but one, that is God. Everything good is a gift from God. His sufficiency is great and abundant. He meets all our needs and strengthens us. His strength gives me the strength to go on. I hang on to it like a lifeline. God is in total control. He has the power to sustain us, hold us up, get us through, save us and mind our hearts. Don't we all need His guidance? Knowing He takes me by the hand and heart and leads me is very comforting. His truth is His nature. He does not lie. His words are the words to live by because they show things as they really are and are a promise of the future. In this world where man is consistently unfaithful to his spouse, children, friends, isn't it a blessing to know there is one person we can always count on for His faithfulness? God has infinite power to do all He has promised. On another little note, in one of the devotionals I get, or was getting, there is always an excerpt at the bottom from a book called Taylor's Gift. It is the story of a mother and father trying to deal with the death of their child. And one thing the mother says over and over, as if to remind herself, is it's all for his glory. So I too keep reminding myself of this because I need to remember that no matter what is put before me, it's all for his glory. As I said, I came to Cornerstone because I needed help. I couldn't do it alone. Now I'm going to cry. So learning through this study that I don't have to has saved me from a lot of anguish and sorrow. I learned that God knew every strand of hair on my head before I was even conceived. My life was planned out by God, and there is nothing I can do to change it. And that is a blessing because I don't want to have to be in charge anymore. I give my life over to you, Lord, because I know the plans you have for me, plans to give me hope and a future. And that is why I came here, for hope. I needed someone to give me hope for a future that was without pain, tears, and sorrow. I found that someone, and I fell in love with him. My new outlook is Proverbs 3:25. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. I have learned to let go, let God. Thank you, Jackie, for that. I have also made so many new friends. My sisters in Christ, I love you all. You are always there to lift me up when I am down and answer my numerous questions with love and patience. To Fran, my teacher, my mentor, my friend, and my shoulder to cry on, I thank you for leading me on this journey. I couldn't have done it without you. To my daughter, I wish I had known this long ago, but I love you with all my heart.
That was awesome. My name is Jeannie Hines, and I was blessed to find Fran's home through a phone call that I just made to Cornerstone, just asking for a woman's Bible study group. And I haven't been able to go there often, but when I can, I get there, and it's there's so many of us there, and it's so uplifting, and it's all about Jesus, and that's what I like about it. I really learned to know him. When I wasn't there, I had the studies, so I would do them at home, and I would follow along. So I'm really grateful to be here. The Lord has done brazen things in my life this year. I have a son who is 16, who I just was going to do a little foster care 16 years ago. He was going to come for 3 months. He was going to leave. And at that time, they told me that he was not going to walk and he was not going to talk. So we've been through 16 years of a lot of grief and that the Lord has gotten my whole family through. Because the world is crazy, and people are crazy, and they tell you things like they know what they're talking about, and only the Lord knows the truth. So it's been a lot of horrible times that all through it, I knew that the Lord was going to be the victor in every situation. I would take back what I laid at his feet often, and he would always forgive me for that. My son, who would never walk or talk, this morning did a triathlon with me. He swam and he ran. And he did a great job, and he didn't come in last. And he represented Special Olympics, him and our little friend, Shivana, the two Special Olympic athletes. But what I'm here to tell you about is the amazing miracles that the Lord has done in my life with my daughter. And my daughter was a heroin addict. And I raised her in Catholic school, in 12 years of Catholic school. And she was National Honor Society. And she got a scholarship to college. This was my blonde hair, curly, freckle-faced little child who I thought was going to do what every other person's child did. They go to school, they graduate, they get a job, they get married, they have kids, whatever. And her journey has been different. She met a man, and she started doing drugs, and I don't really know when that is, but during that time, I would go to their house, and I would kneel in front of wherever they were living, in the dirt and the mud, and I would pray, and they will call the cops on me. And the cops would come and they'd say, you know, you have to leave. And I go, I know, you know. So I would leave. And my husband would be like, oh, my gosh, Jean, you know, and I don't care, you know. I just did it. I went and I prayed. I prayed out loud. I told the Lord that I knew that he was going to answer my prayer, but I didn't know when. My prayer was that she didn't die before my prayers were answered. But it got to the point where it got so bad that there was a real possibility that she was going to die. And even then, I knew the Lord was going to carry me through that. So we did the rehab group thing. And, So before that, four men walked up to her home and they opened the door and her boyfriend was murdered, shot. And she was next to him and they did not shoot her. They didn't even look at her. And she was standing right there. And he died. 5 weeks later, my husband committed suicide. And that was her only outlet because she knew I knew her deal. So now she had nobody. And she made it her mission for 5 years not to feel. And I prayed. And I had people praying. And I had my lady friends praying. And I knew that this was not all going to be for nothing. And she went into a rehab, and it didn't work because only God can heal heroin addiction, you know. But the world out there wants the money, okay? They want the money. They want the insurance and the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that all of us families spend on heroin addiction for our children. It doesn't work. It's God. It's only God. And my daughter is in a discipleship program in Rhode Island, Maine right now, praising God. She is serving other people. She cleans bathrooms. She works for free. She cooks, and she loves God. When I picked her up in November last year, she had track marks all over her arm. She was 87 pounds. She was going to die. 10 years of prayers were answered last November. And now I gave her my Bible when she went, and now she's reading because I have like things written in my Bible. Now she reads the things and she laughs. She goes, Mom, like, what did you mean by that? And it was usually all about her. I would be like, God, I don't want to force her to do this because then I'm afraid I'll lose her. Like, it was just my thoughts to the Lord. I was praying to the Lord on paper, just asking him, please, like, this was my baby, you know. So I speak to her for 15 minutes twice a week. I'm going to go see her next weekend. She loves God. My daughter was spike heel, red lipstick, big blonde hair walking around. And now she doesn't even care what she wears. She says, Mom, can we go buy a couple pairs of like shorts or something? I need to wear black and white. And she doesn't wear makeup. I mean, she loves God. He was the victor in this situation. And know all of my friends that don't know him, know this for sure, that he won this war. And Satan was big. He was around, and he was fighting for her. But the Lord wasn't going to let that happen. So I know that this heroin thing is going around. I know that a lot of people, I know the answer because Christ has given me the answer. He is the answer. I went to a forum in hell not too long ago, and there was a man there whose son died. I went up to him afterwards, and I told him I'm so sorry. And he said, he asked me about my story. I told him about Faith, my daughter. And he said, don't feel sorry for me. He says, I feel sorry for you because this is your whole life of hell. You will never have any peace with your heroin addict because she's alive. I said, well, I have Jesus. I walked away. Amen. But if anybody wants to know what the answer, I have phone numbers. I have. Only God can heal our kids. So I praise God for what he's done in my life, and there's nothing at all that I am afraid of in this life. Nothing. I can handle anything. I had detectives in my house calling my daughter bad names, you know, and I put my Bible on my lap, and I just looked at them. There was nothing that could make me go to them, you know, go to their side, you know. So thanks for listening.